The Apostles and the Torah. Reconstructing the First Century Church. Part 7. Re-examining disputed texts. 1. Method and hermeneutic principles. The thesis that the apostles abolished Torah rests on a narrow cluster of verses interpreted through post-Jewish, Hellenistic frameworks. When examined within their first-century linguistic and halakhic milieu, those same texts reveal continuity, not contradiction. A responsible hermeneutic requires 1. Linguistic realism. Reading Greek idioms against Hebrew-Aramaic conceptual backgrounds. 2. Historical setting. The synagogue-based community structure of the apostles. 3. Literary flow. Analyzing syntax and discourse rather than proof-texting clauses. 4. Covenantal coherence. Torah as the assumed moral grammar of the New Covenant. As Bauckham notes, early Christianity cannot be understood apart from the Jewish matrix of scripture and practice in which it was born. Quote opening parenthesis. 1. 2. Acts 20 and 1 Cor 16. The first day of the week. 2.1 Greek and Jewish idioms. Luke's phrase Mia Sabbaton. Acts 20. 7. Literally means, one of the Sabbaths, reflecting Hebrew Achad Bashabat. The idiom used in counting the seven Sabbaths between Passover and Shavuot. Lev 23. 15. Dot. The same construction appears in Luke chapter 24. 1 and Mark 16. 2. BDAG and LSJ both record its calendrical, not liturgical, sense. Opening parenthesis. 2. Therefore, Acts 20 describes timing, not a newly sanctified day. Paul and his companions, still within Jewish rhythm, gathered after Sabbath sunset for a melavimalka meal. The meeting stretched past evening. Hebrew days begin, end at sundown. Because work and travel restrictions had ended. 20. 7:11. 2.2 The Troas context. Verse 6 situates the episode, after the days of unleavened bread. Paul remained Torah conscious in his travel planning, even hastening to be at Jerusalem for Pentecost. 20. 16. The so-called first day service thus occurs between festivals, not in opposition to them. Importantly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 2, Paul instructs believers to set aside funds on the first of the week for Jerusalem relief. The verb thesaurizo means to store privately or lay up, not collect publicly. Quote opening parenthesis. 3. In first century Jewish practice, handling or transferring money on the Sabbath was considered work, melaka, and thus avoided. The Mishnah Shabbat explicitly forbids mikach u-memkar, buying and selling, and hatzah, carrying between domains, on the Sabbath. M. Shabbat 23:1-2. These norms reflect long-standing Torah-based custom and were already observed in Yeshua's day. Accordingly, Paul's directive would naturally have been understood as post-Sabbath stewardship. In other words, setting aside charitable funds once Sabbath rest had ended, either on Saturday evening, as the new day began in Jewish reckoning, or during the following daylight hours. This timing both respected Torah principles and provided practical opportunity for believers to gather or allocate relief resources. The setting coheres with the post-Sabbath fellowship meal, Melava Malka, when Sabbath restrictions were lifted and communal interaction resumed. The instruction therefore reflects sensitivity to Torah rhythm rather than a shift in sacred time. Neither the act nor the phrase, first of the week, suggests that the Sabbath had been replaced by a new day of worship. Rather, it affirms that the apostolic community continued to order its charitable and logistical affairs in alignment with Torah values of rest, generosity, and holiness of time. Opening parenthesis. 3a. 2.3 Patristic misreading. Ignatius. Magnesians 9. And the Didache 14 later equated the Lord's Day with Sunday, under post-70 CE pressure to dissociate from Judaism. Opening parenthesis. 4. Yet no first-century text identifies Sunday as a replacement Sabbath. The linguistic evidence instead confirms ongoing seventh-day sanctity. 3. Romans chapter 14. 5-6. Calendar dispute, not abolition. 3.1 Historical calendar variance. In Paul's generation, Jewish groups disagreed over the lunar-solar calendar. Pharisees used visual crescent sightings. Sadducees preferred solar alignment for temple service. Essenes followed a fixed 364-day cycle. Opening parenthesis. 5. Diaspora synagogues often received festival dates late, leading to two-day observances. Paul's counsel. One person esteems one day above another, let each be fully convinced. Addresses this intra-Jewish variance, not permission to ignore appointed times. As Hegg notes, Paul mediates between competing halakhic calendars, not between Sabbath and Sunday. Quote opening parenthesis. 6. 3.2 Semantic analysis. The verbs krine, judges, and phronito, be convinced, denote personal discernment, not doctrinal relativism. Paul promotes tolerance within Torah faithfulness, echoing the rabbinic maxim elu veelu devrei Elohim hayam. These and those are words of the living God. Dot. Opening parenthesis. 7. 3.3 Food context. Verses 2-3 contrast, the one who eats, and the one who abstains. The issue concerns voluntary fasts. Likely Monday, Thursday Pharisaic customs. Cf. Luke chapter 18. 12. Not kosher status. Keener comments, the dispute involves ascetic rigor, not abolition of dietary law. Quote opening parenthesis. 8. Romans chapter 14 therefore upholds community peace within Torah observance, not liberty from it. 4. Colossians chapter 2. 16-17. Against pagan asceticism, not Torah. 4.1 Literary context. Paul's warning begins at 2. 8. Beware lest anyone take you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the stoichia tou kosmo. The term stoichia, elements, elemental spirits, in contemporary usage refers to cosmic powers or astral deities, not Mosaic precepts. Opening parenthesis. 9. The false teachers at Colossae promoted mystical asceticism, self-abasement, angel worship, and dietary severity. 2. 18:21-23. Paul rebukes this, touch not, taste not, ideology derived from Hellenistic dualism. His phrase, let no one judge you, thus protects believers for observance of Sabbaths and festivals against pagan derision. Opening parenthesis. 10. 4.2 Greek syntax. Let no one judge you in eating or in drinking, or in a festival, or new moon, or Sabbath, which are a shadow, skia, of the coming things, but the body is of Christ. The genitive to Christou modifies soma, body, not skia, i.e., the substance, embodiment, belongs to Messiah. Quote opening parenthesis. 11. The verse affirms typological fulfillment, not cancellation. Importantly, Paul's use of skia, shadow, reflects a Hebraic concept of prophetic foreshadowing rather than obsolescence. The appointed times, Moedim, in Torah were understood as prophetic rehearsals. Mikra'i Kodesh, sacred convocations anticipating future redemptive events. Lev 23. 2. Dot. In this sense, they remain shadows of things to come, not things that have passed. The same idiom appears in Hebrews chapter 10. 1. Where Torah's rituals are called a shadow of good things to come. Skian tun melanton agathon. Affirming their ongoing typological role until the final consummation. From a first-century Jewish perspective, Paul's wording signals that the Moedim retain prophetic and pedagogical force. They are shadows, precisely because the full radiance of Messiah's kingdom has not yet dawned. Their observance therefore looks forward to his return, when all is accomplished. Matt 5. 18. Dot. Paul's exhortation thus does not negate these observances but defends believers who keep them from being judged or shamed by pagan or ascetic critics. Opening parenthesis. 11a. 4.3 Comparative Scholarship. Troy Martin's Linguistic Study. 1996. Identifies the Colossian error as cosmic asceticism. Dunn, Wright, and Hegg converge. Paul combats pagan syncretism, not Torah loyalty. Opening parenthesis. 12. Therefore, call 2. 16-17 vindicates observance. Its shadow imagery parallels Hebrews chapter 10. 1. where shadow precedes substance but remains meaningful. 5. Galatians chapter 4. 10. Pagan days and months. 5.1 The problem of stoicheia. You observe days, months, seasons, and years. I fear for you. The same stoicheia motif appears in 4. 3 and 4. 9. In Greco-Roman context, stoicheia denotes planetary spirits governing the calendar. Attested in inscriptions and papyri. Opening parenthesis. 13. Paul chastises Galatians for reverting to astrological piety, not for celebrating biblical Moedim. 5.2 Covenantal logic. The argument of Galatians 3-4 contrasts slavery to sin and idols with adoption in Messiah. Torah per se is not slavery. Misuse of Torah as boundary marker for Gentile exclusion is. Sanders explains, Paul attacks law-keeping as nationalistic requirement, not as moral obedience. Quote opening parenthesis. 14. Hence his rebuke targets Gentile converts tempted by local paganism, not Torah observance. 5.3 Continuity with Romans and Colossians. Paul's consistency across letters refutes any anti-Torah reading. In Romans he calls the law, holy and good. 7.12. In Colossians he defends festivals. It would be incoherent for him to denounce the same practice here. As Nanos summarizes, Paul did not oppose Torah. He opposed Torah misused. Quote opening parenthesis. 15.6. Mark 7 and the, all foods clean, misreading. 6.1 Context. Hand washing, not kosher law. The confrontation in Mark 7.1-23 centers on the tradition of the elders. Paradosin ton presbyterin. Specifically, ritual hand washing before meals. This practice, codified later in Mishnah Yadayim 1-2, applied originally to priests handling holy offerings. It was never commanded for ordinary meals in Torah. Thus, when Yeshua's disciples ate, with unwashed hands, they transgressed Pharisaic custom, not divine law. Opening parenthesis. 16. 6.2 Greek syntax. Verse 19 reads, katharizin panta ta bromida, cleansing all foods. The participle modifies the act of digestion, not a new pronouncement of ritual status. Grammatically it belongs to the preceding clause, as many early manuscripts and the RSV, NASB margin note. BDAG glosses broma as, what is permitted for eating. Unclean animals were never considered bromida. Opening parenthesis. 17. 6.3 Halakhic principle. Yeshua critiques elevation of man-made rules above Torah. Teaching as doctrines the commandments of men, version 0.7. His rebuke parallels Deut 4. 2. Do not add to or take from the commandment. By rejecting false attribution of divine authority, he upholds Torah purity categories while exposing oral law excesses. Opening parenthesis. 18. 7. Acts 10-11. Peter's vision and its meaning. 7.1 Prophetic symbolism. Peter's trance of the descending sheet. Acts 10:9-16. Evokes Ezekiel chapter 4:14, where the prophet likewise refuses to eat unclean meat. Peter's immediate objection. Not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Reveals his continuing Torah observance long after Pentecost. Opening parenthesis. 19. Crucially, the use of unclean animals within the vision does not imply divine approval of their consumption. Scripture contains multiple precedents where God employs theoretically unlawful or shocking imagery to convey a prophetic message. Abraham's commanded sacrifice of Isaac, Gen 22:2-12, and Ezekiel's human dung bread, Ezek 4:12-15. Both illustrate that the prophetic sign act, not the literal act, carries the divine intent. God often uses forbidden or extreme imagery to dramatize moral or covenantal truths, without thereby suspending the Torah's ethical framework. Opening parenthesis. 20a. 7.2 Peter's own interpretation. Peter himself provides the interpretation. God has shown me that I should call no man common or unclean. 10:28. Luke reiterates this meaning in 11:18. The vision concerns Gentile inclusion, not dietary revision. As Hegg observes, if Peter misinterpreted his own vision, Luke fails as historian. But Luke's repetition proves the interpretation correct. Quote opening parenthesis. 20. 7.3 Historical consequence. Only centuries later did commentators such as Augustine and Chrysostom read the text as abolishing kashrut, projecting Gentile theological concerns backward. Modern exegesis. Keener, Fredrickson, Nanos. Restores its original social and ecclesial scope. The vision is about who may enter fellowship, not what may be eaten. Opening parenthesis. 21. 8. Acts 15. The Jerusalem Council re-examined. 8.1 Halakhic question. The Jerusalem Council confronted a question that had become urgent as Gentile believers multiplied. Must Gentiles undergo circumcision and keep the whole Torah as proselytes to be fully accepted among the followers of Yeshua? The debate, as Luke records, arose when some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed insisted it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Acts 15:5. James's verdict, however, lists only four prohibitions: idolatry, sexual immorality, strangled meat, and blood. Each of these reflects the sojourner laws of Leviticus chapters 17 to 18, binding not ethnic Israel alone but the Jir HaJir, the resident alien, living among them. Opening parenthesis. 22. The phrase, to be circumcised, here likely functions as a metonym for complete Pharisaic conversion. That is, submission not merely to the physical rite but to the entire halakhic system of the Pharisees. In the Second Temple period, circumcision was the symbolic threshold for entering the Jewish community according to Pharisaic halakha, carrying with it acceptance of the oral law's manifold ordinances. In this sense, the apostles were not debating whether Torah itself should be observed. That was assumed. But whether Gentiles must come under Pharisaic halakha to be considered covenant participants. Yeshua himself had opposed the imposition of human traditions that distorted or overburdened God's commands. Mark 7:7-13. Matt 23:4. Thus, when Peter calls this halakhic system, a yoke that neither we nor our fathers could bear. Acts 15:10. He refers not to the Torah given at Sinai, which scripture calls holy, just, and good. Rom 7:12, but to the rabbinic legalism that had developed around it. Opening parenthesis. 22a. 8.2 Purpose of the decree. James's verdict, framed as apostolic halakha, established a pragmatic entry point for Gentiles joining the community of the way. The four prohibitions. Abstaining from idolatry, sexual immorality, strangled meat, and blood, functioned as minimum conditions for table fellowship with observant Jews. Significantly, two of these commands are explicitly dietary. Strangled meat and blood. Their inclusion contradicts the common Christian assumption that the dietary laws were abrogated. On the contrary, these restrictions affirm that food ethics remained central to apostolic holiness. The apostles were not dispensing Gentiles from Torah but inducting them into it through foundational commandments that enabled shared meals without ritual offense. Equally important, James's rationale in verse 21. For Moses has in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues, reveals the social setting presupposed by the decree. These Gentile believers were expected to attend synagogue on the Sabbath, hearing the Torah read weekly. The Jerusalem Council thus assumed an environment of mixed Jew-Gentile congregations meeting on Sabbath, where new Gentile disciples would learn Torah incrementally. This context overturns later interpretations that imagine Acts 15 as a repeal of Mosaic instruction. Instead, the decree represents a pedagogical halakhic framework, a starting point for Gentile sanctification, ensuring immediate fellowship while anticipating further growth through ongoing Torah instruction. It is, in effect, the apostles' application of the rabbinic principle Kabbalat Mitzvah Bima'ah, receiving commandments in small measure, adapted for an international faith movement. Opening parenthesis. 23a. 8.3 Continuity with Paul. Paul later delivers these very decrees as authoritative rulings. Acts 16:4. And publicly demonstrates his own Torah fidelity when challenged. Acts 21:24-26. His actions reinforce the unity of purpose between himself and the Jerusalem apostles. Gentiles were not required to become Jews through Pharisaic conversion, but they were expected to live within the moral and ritual framework of Torah as interpreted through Messiah. If Torah had been abolished, these decrees would be meaningless. Their continued use and enforcement show that the early ecclesia understood itself as Torah-affirming, with Yeshua's halakha as its interpretive compass. The Jerusalem Council thus represents not a retreat from Torah but its extension to the nations. The fulfillment of Isaiah's vision that the Torah shall go forth from Zion. Isa 2. 3. Dot. Opening parenthesis. 24. 9. Hebrews chapter 4. The Sabbath rest that remains. 9.1 Lexical analysis. Hebrews chapter 4. 9 declares, there remains a Sabbath keeping. Sabbatismos. For the people of God. The term appears nowhere else in Greek literature prior to this epistle and plainly means observance, not metaphor. LSJ defines sabbatismos as keeping of a Sabbath. Quote opening parenthesis. 25. 9.2 Theological argument. The author draws a typological line. Creation right-pointing arrow Canaan right-pointing arrow kingdom rest. Each prefigures, not replaces, the other. The argument parallels Philos and the Book of Jubilees' concept of cosmic Sabbath. Thus, Sabbath remains eschatological and ethical, not obsolete. Opening parenthesis. 26. 9.3 Early reception. Justin Martyr and Origen re-spiritualized the text, allegorizing rest as mystical contemplation. Yet their Platonizing approach diverges from the Jewish homiletic pattern of Hebrews. Modern scholars Attridge, Hegg, Wright affirm that the writer presupposes continued Sabbath practice. Opening parenthesis. 27. 10. Yeshua's healings on the Sabbath. 10.1 Conflict of commandments. The Gospels repeatedly show Yeshua healing on the Sabbath. Not as rebellion against Torah, but as a faithful application of its higher principles. In first-century Judaism, diverse halakhic schools, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, debated what constituted work. Melaka. Dot. The Pharisees' rulings often multiplied restrictions beyond the written Torah, defining labor in microscopic detail. Within Torah itself, however, commandments can come into apparent conflict, and the greater obligation prevails. The classic example is circumcision. The Torah commands it on the eighth day. Lev 12. 3. Even when that day falls on the Sabbath. Rather than breaking Sabbath, circumcision on that day fulfills both commandments by honoring covenant priority. Yeshua's healings function in precisely the same way. Restoring life or wholeness is a Torah-consistent act, aligned with the principle later formalized in rabbinic law as pikuach nefesh. Preservation of life overrides Sabbath rest. As the Mekilta de Rabbi Ishmael on X 31.13 teaches, profane one Sabbath for a man so that he may keep many Sabbaths. Yeshua therefore did not violate Torah but embodied its moral hierarchy, demonstrating that mercy and restoration stand at the center of Sabbath holiness. Opening parenthesis. 28, 30a. 10.2 Yeshua's halakhic reasoning. Yeshua's reasoning mirrors rabbinic argumentation from the lesser to the greater. Kal vahomer. Dot. He asks, which of you, having a sheep that falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Quote opening parenthesis. Matt 12. 11-12. Luke chapter 14. 5. Dot. His conclusion. Therefore it is lawful. Existin. To do good on the Sabbath. Explicitly frames acts of healing as lawful halakha, not transgression. In John chapter 7. 22-23 he invokes circumcision itself as precedent. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Here Yeshua applies the accepted principle of commandment hierarchy within Torah logic. His healing of the sick thus affirms, rather than abolishes, the Sabbath commandment. Far from setting Torah aside, he exposes the inconsistency of certain Pharisaic rulings that elevated human ordinances over divine intent. Mark 7. 8-9. Dot. Even later rabbinic tradition affirmed the same priority of compassion. Pikuach nefesh docha Shabbat. Saving life supersedes the Sabbath. Yeshua's works, therefore, align with the prophetic call of Isaiah chapter 58, 13-14 to make Sabbath a delight, expressed through acts of mercy and liberation. Opening parenthesis. 29, 30a. 11. Synthesis and hermeneutical principles. 1. Each alleged anti-Torah text, in its Jewish-Greek context, reaffirms Torah's validity. 2. Apostolic practice exhibits halakhic diversity within covenant fidelity, not rejection. 3. Post-temple reinterpretations projected later anti-Jewish polemic backward. 4. The consistent apostolic hermeneutic. Torah fulfilled through Messiah's embodiment, not abolished through misreading. As N.T. Wright observes, for Paul, the law is not abolished. It is transformed into the life of the Spirit. The Torah written on the heart. Quote opening parenthesis. 30. 10. Summary of section 7. 1 Acts 20. 7 reflects post-Sabbath fellowship, not Sunday institution. 2 Romans chapter 14 addresses calendar disputes, not abolition of feast days. 3 Colossians chapter 2 defends Torah observers from pagan criticism. 4 Galatians 4 condemns astrological ritualism, not biblical holy days. 5 Mark 7 concerns ritual hand washing, not dietary reclassification. 6 Acts 15 reaffirms Torah ethics for Gentiles. 7 Hebrews chapter 4 teaches continuity of Sabbath rest. The apostolic writings, when examined in context, consistently depict Torah as the moral grammar of the New Covenant. Apparent contradictions arise not from the texts themselves but from later interpretive lenses forged in post-Jewish Christianity. Endnotes. Part 7. Richard Bauckham, Jesus and the God of Israel. God Crucified and Other Studies. Eerdmans, 2008. 55. 2. BDAGS. V. Sabaton. LSJS. V. Sabaton. Tim Hegg, Acts Commentary. Torah Resource, 2016. 307. 3. Mark Nanos, The Mystery of Romans. Fortress Press, 1996. 77-78. 3a. M. Shabbat 23. 1-2. Tim Hegg, Acts Commentary. Torah Resource, 2016. 307-308. Craig S. Keener, Acts. An Exegetical Commentary. Grand Rapids. Baker Academic, 2012. 3. 2897. 4. Ignatius, Magnesians 9. D-14. Samuel Bakioki, From Sabbath to Sunday. Pontifical Gregorian University, 1977. 41-47. 5. Sasha Stern, Calendar and Community. A History of the Jewish Calendar 2nd Century BCE to 10th Century CE. Oxford University Press, 2001. 29-34. 6. Tim Hegg, Romans Commentary. Torah Resource, 2013. 482-486. 7. M. Eruvin 13b. Compare Hegg, Ibid. 490. 8. Craig S. Keener, Romans. New Cambridge Bible Commentary, Cambridge University Press, 2020. 314. 9. Hans Dieter Betz, The Concept of the Elements of the World in Greek Religious Thought, in the Galaxy of Greek Religion. Leiden. Brill, 1970. 118-120. 10. Tim Hegg, Colossians Commentary. Torah Resource, 2014. 211-218. 11. N. T. Wright, Paul for Everyone. The Prison Letters. SPCK, 2004. 181. 11a. Tim Hegg, Colossians Commentary. Torah Resource, 2014. 220-223. N. T. Wright, Paul for Everyone. The Prison Letters. SPCK, 2004. 181-183. Book of Jubilees 6. 17-21. And they will be signs forever in the heavens, according to their appointed times. Semicolon. C.F. David Flusser, Jesus and the Halakhic Traditions, Emmanuel 3. 1973. Colon. 33:12. Troy Martin, but let everyone discern the body of Christ. Col 2:17. Colon. A Study of Paul's Metaphor, Journal of Biblical Literature 115. 1996. Colon. 79-94. James D. G. Dunn, The Epistles to the Colossians and to Philemon. Eerdmans, 1996. 177-180. Hegg, Colossians, 219. 13. David Aun, Greco-Roman Religion and the New Testament. Hendrickson, 1990. 104-106. Keener, Galatians. 2020. 253. 14. E. P. Sanders, Paul and Palestinian Judaism. Fortress Press, 1977. 497. 15. Nanos, The Irony of Galatians. Fortress Press, 2002. 262. 16. Mishneh Yedayim 1. 1-2. Tim Hegg, Mark Commentary. Torah Resource, 2014. 92-94. 17. BDAGS. V. Broma. Nanos, The Mystery of Romans. Fortress Press, 1996. 112. 18. David Flusser, Jesus and the Halakhic Traditions, Emmanuel 3. 1973. Colon. 31-35. 19. Ezek 4. 14 LXX. Acts 10. 14. Craig S. Keener, Acts. An Exegetical Commentary. Grand Rapids. Baker Academic, 2012. 2. 1687. 20. Tim Hegg, Commentary on Acts. Torah Resource, 2016. 311. 20a. CF. Gen 22. 2-12. Ezek 4. 12-15. On Prophetic Sign Acts and Symbolic Transgression, see John Goldingay, Ezekiel for Everyone. SPCK, 2011. 47-49. Tim Hegg, Acts Commentary. Torah Resource, 2016. 311-312. God's use of prohibited imagery to communicate covenantal truths does not imply the abrogation of Torah principles. 21. Paula Fredrickson, When Christians Were Jews. The First Generation. Yale University Press, 2018. 105-109. 22. Leviticus chapters 17-18. James D. G. Dunn, The Partings of the Ways. SCM Press, 2006. 308. 22a. CF. Acts 15. 5, 10. Matt 23. 4. Tim Hegg, Acts Commentary. Torah Resource, 2016. 307-309. David Flusser, Judaism and the Origins of Christianity. Magnus Press, 1988. 524-528. E. P. Sanders, Paul and Palestinian Judaism. Fortress, 1977. 219-221. N. T. Wright, Paul and the Faithfulness of God. Fortress, 2013. 881-884. 23. Acts 15. 21. Tim Hegg, The Apostolic Decree. Its Background and Purpose. Torah Resource, 2015. 15-18. 23a. CF. Leviticus chapter 17. 10-14. 18. 26. Hegg, The Apostolic Decree, 15-21. Craig S. Keener, Acts. An Exegetical Commentary. Grand Rapids. Baker Academic, 2012. 3. 2231-2234. Mark Nanos, The Apostolic Decree and Gentile Inclusion, in Paul Within Judaism. Lexington, 2015. 189-193. 24. Acts 16. 4. 21. 24-26. N. T. Wright, Paul and the Faithfulness of God. Fortress Press, 2013. 912. 25. LSJS. V. Sabbatismos. Harold W. Attridge, Hebrews. Hermeneia Commentary, Fortress, 1989. 130. 26. Philo, Allegorical Interpretation 1.5. Book of Jubilees 50. 8-10. 27. Tim Hegg, Commentary on Hebrews. Torah Resource, 2020. 154-159. N. T. Wright, Ibid. 925. 28. Mekilta de Rabbi Ishmael on X 31. 13. M. Yoma 8. 6. Luke chapter 6. 9. John chapter 5. 9-18. 29. Luke chapter 14. 5. Craig S. Keener, Luke Commentary. Grand Rapids. Baker Academic, 2014. 732-734. 30. N. T. Wright, The Climax of the Covenant. Fortress Press, 1991. 242. 30A, Lev 12-3, Isa 58, 13-14, David Flusser, Jesus, Jerusalem, Magnus Press, 1997, 116-118, Craig S. Keener, The IVP Bible Background Commentary, New Testament, InterVarsity Press, 2014, 168-170.